a flurry of TMT developments. Today, the governor asking for Mayor Harry Kim to reach common ground with the protesters. Big Island Judge Greg Nakamura denied a temporary restraining order this morning filed by opponents of the TMT project. It was a move to halt construction on the telescope over a security bond. And an Oahu judge is expected to decide on the governor's emergency declaration later today. Protests continue on Mauna Kea in opposition to the planned construction of the 30-meter telescope. Although TMT is the focus of activity, there are some 13 telescopes already operating on the mountain. As the protests heated up last week, managers of the Mauna Kea observatories made the decision to pull the workers off the mountain, and they haven't yet returned to the summit area. While he was on Hawaii Island last week, HBR's Ryan Finnerty spoke with Jessica Dempsey. She's the deputy director of the East Asian Observatory, which operates the James Clerk Maxwell Telescope. She told us how the decision to withdraw the workers was made and how scientists are grappling with the debate raging around them.
I don't think you can prepare entirely for what we're seeing and experiencing now, but we, of course, knew that there was going to be a point where TMT was going to need to access the mountain. And so we were looking ahead to that, and with our staff and our planning, to recognize that it was going to be a challenging time for people getting up and down the mountain. We tried to plan our safety protocols to make sure that in as many scenarios as we could imagine, we had a safe environment at the summit facilities and in the travel to and from their homes for the staff that were going to have to be getting up there on a daily basis. So we talked that through. We made sure that our staff were looped in and communicated with about the potential for what could happen, and made sure that we were listening to them about their concerns, given that they are living here in this community, born and bred in this community, been here for some, you know, decades, and that they understood that we knew how hard this was going to be for them, given these sort of challenges that were going to come ahead. So it was as much about making sure all of our staff were as comfortable as they could be and as prepared as they could be emotionally, as well as just the safety physically on the mountain.
We've seen firsthand how law enforcement officers have kind of dealt with that internal conflict. Mm-hmm. How have some of your workers, some of the people who go and work on the mountain, on the telescopes, what's it been like for them? Can you share some stories about how they've dealt with it?
I think it's been amazing. Our staff are incredible people, and they have family and friends, you know, people that we interact with on a daily basis in all sorts of different ways, who have very strong feelings and rightfully so about what's going on the Mauna, and they're very torn, and so I think that everyone has conducted themselves, you know, with an amazing amount of strength, and I think that we really recognize that this is incredibly difficult for a community, and so that all of our staff here have some people that they know who are standing on, in some ways, the other side, and I don't think that they feel like that. I think that they definitely understand and respect that, but also they want to go and do their jobs, and so we are trying to make sure that everyone is feeling heard, and that we understand how painful this can be for all of our staff who are here in the community and dealing with this.
Eventually, the decision was made to pull all the workers off the summit. Could you tell us a little bit about how that decision was made and maybe what you were hearing from those workers in the lead up to that decision?
Sure. And we had some staff who were either day crew who were at our halfway facility, Halepahaku, planning to do daily services. We'd of course been optimistic that we could continue our regular observing during this. And it became clear that it was getting difficult to get our crews up and down on what we normally do, as there might not be a planned schedule for when we come up and down. And some of those staff had difficulty getting access through the access road. And while there was absolutely no bad experiences from the staff in what they were dealing with, we decided that this was going to get very, very difficult to plan and be consistent in how we normally do our operations if this was so uncertain on a daily basis. And secondly, law enforcement are just doing, you know, an incredible job. They've been so respectful. They worked so hard to try and ensure that we could do the things we needed. But we just decided to step to one side and not add an additional complication into what is already an incredibly complex and difficult situation. And that meant that we could ensure the safety of our staff and our facilities. And for the moment, just try and make something that is very complex at least slightly simpler.
In a lot of ways, it seems like the scientists and your workers are caught in the middle between this dispute between the demonstrators and the state, and by extension, the TMT organization, which is separate from all of the existing observatories. Do you think that's an accurate assessment?
I think it certainly feels that way for a lot of our staff. You know, I'm very protective of our people, and I always just want them to not feel like they're stuck in the middle of this. I think what we're trying to do as a part of the community is find a way forward that is a future for everyone that is here in the community that does include astronomy on the Mauna, but also takes into account and really lifts up these other perspectives. And so I don't really feel like we are in the middle. I think we stand with our feet on the ground here in Hawaii, and we're looking up not just to the stars, but to a better future.
So where do things stand right now? There are no workers on the summit area working on the telescopes. How has that impacted operations for everyone?
It's very difficult not to be observing. And we do not have staff on the mountain at the moment. And at the moment, we are maintaining that we will not be resuming normal operations until we have consistent access to the mountain. We're making that decision on a daily basis. So we also, as I said, monitoring our critical systems very carefully. It's always a possibility that we will have one of our instruments in the telescope needing urgent care, which of course we hope does not happen, but it's something which we're definitely keeping an eye on.
What condition would have to be met for you to make the decision to start sending people back up the road?
We would just want to ensure that access for our staff is unimpeded, and we know that they would be able to get through on the road and do that safely. And so that will be what we'll be hoping for, and we'll hope for it, you know, as soon as possible.
From what I've seen, the demonstrators and their leadership say there is no danger for your workers to go up, that they wouldn't be harmed. So how are you making that assessment as to when it would be acceptable to start sending people back up?
When law enforcement essentially tells us that this road is unimpeded in every way, that'll be when we, so we're relying at this point on law enforcement to, you know, inform us that the road has unimpeded access for observatory staff to continue those operations.
And I don't want to make it about money, but I know that telescope time is worth tens of thousands of dollars a night. So as we enter a second week of a shutdown, how are the observatories being affected from a financial perspective?
So observatories do cost a lot of money to keep running. And that is true, whether or not we are, you know, collecting photons from the universe or not. And that is just part and parcel of running an observatory. And so it's a wrench to not be collecting the science. And at the end of the day, that is the part of it that I think especially our staff, who are so dedicated at making sure we squeeze every single minute of time up on the Mauna to get this amazing light from the universe. And so while, you know, the money part of it is always something which we consider when we're running these things, actually, I think the most sort of painful thing is that we can't, you know, do the science that we really are here to do and are passionate about. And the observatories are non-profit organizations, and so we don't make money depending on whether we're open to the sky or not. All of when we say that a night is expensive, that's just simply because it costs money to run a facility, to pay our staff. And so that's when we say a night is expensive. It simply means, you know, these are complex and big behemoths, these observatories, and it takes money to run them.
We're not looking at any observatory having to potentially close or lay people off or anything like that as a result.
That's absolutely true. There's nothing in this that would mean that our observatories are suddenly in financial straits that would mean that our staff have to get laid off. They're our top priority.
What do you think this means for the future of astronomy in Hawaii? Because if I'm someone looking to build a telescope or to do this kind of science, and I see this happening, I'm probably going to go somewhere else, if at all possible.
I can't speak to future facilities and where they should be. I can speak to the amazing future for our existing observatories. Just bringing a new instrument into a facility can add a whole new window on the universe. And so I see the potential for a vibrant and long-term future, and amazing science and opportunities here in Hauai for the existing Mauna Kea observatories. And so that is the future that I'm looking towards and hoping we can find a path to.
When we were on the mountain, you said you believe science and cultural practice can coexist together on Mauna Kea. How do you envision that? How does that happen from your perspective?
One of my greatest hopes is that the next generation of people running our observatories are going to be locally trained and educated young people. I'd love that they're the ones that make the decision on what that future would look like. I think there is an incredible opportunity here for us to find a new path where all of these things not just coexist, because that still implies barriers, but instead we find synergies, because that combination is going to be so much greater than the sum of its parts. And so creating a space where we can have that conversation and find that way. I don't have the answer myself, but I really believe that that generation, they will. So let's see what we can do to create the hope and the space for them to do that.
Do you think that science, either in general or specific to astronomy, has ignored cultural concerns in the past, or perhaps not ignored, but given them a lower priority than maybe what they deserved, and this is kind of a backlash to that?
I think that what I have learned in the 5 years since we really had these, the profile of this issue come so much more to light, is I've learned how to listen. And that has been so important in really starting to understand what we're having to deal with and experience. And so that listening is something which I think is really, really important for us here in every aspect, and certainly for the scientists and the observatory staff that are here. And that for me is the thing that I think has been most important.
And since you began listening in that way, what have you heard? What have you learned? Maybe has your mind on something changed, or were you exposed to something that you hadn't been before?
Just so many perspectives and so many stories, and their value is it's really important to me. And I want to keep listening. I'm just starting to really, every time I have another conversation and I get another chance to hear stories, I recognize how important the conversation is, and how just opening up to letting in these stories is a part of this. And I really just hope I can continue to do it.
All right, Jessica Dempsey, thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Jessica Dempsey is the deputy director of the East Asian Observatory, which operates the James Clerk Maxwell Telescope on Mauna Kea. You can find all our coverage of the TMT protests at hawaiipublicradio.org.